Welcome to Our House with one of Australia's leading auctioneers, Rod Amos, and buyer's agent, Matt Sharp. And now for your dose of information and observation about real estate across the nation. Let's go live to your host, the voice of the National Rugby League, Steve Allen.
Episode 41 of the Our House podcast, and we do it all thanks to Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions. Alongside me, one of the world's best auctioneers from urban and coastal real estate, Rod Amos. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Steve.
Great to see you. And of course, I'm just back from the Whitsundays.
And trying to get his land legs back. You're still wobbling every time you stand up, Steve.
Yeah, look, I'm not too bad now, but for about 3 or 4 days afterwards, yeah, I was swaying. And I've got to say, absolutely loved it. Airlie Beach, first time I've been there. Normally we go to Shute Harbour, head straight out to one of the islands. But this time, spent a couple of nights in Airlie Beach, then jumped on a catamaran. Absolutely loved sailing around the Whitsundays. And then back into Airlie Beach, and it's just got such a great vibe, Rod. I really loved it up there.
Look, it's better being on Airlie Beach than up Shute Harbour without a paddle, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess from a real estate perspective, one thing that really surprised me is the lack of real estate agents in the main street of Airlie Beach. Normally, most towns you go to, there's 3 or 4 or 5 within, like, you know, a 2 kilometre radius.
Well, so you reckon it raises the profile and the friendliness not having real estate agents in the main streets? Steve, probably a worthwhile consideration.
No, I never said that. Another observation, Rod, was the resort we stayed on the first couple of nights, you could buy a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment in there for a fraction of the cost that we pay where we live, and you'd be waking up every morning to one of the world's best views.
That's what you're saying. You found the real estate in Airlie Beach itself. What are you looking at getting a decent townhouse around there, Steve?
Yeah, so you could get something around the $500,000, but the entry level, so for something a little smaller, you could still wake up to an incredible view for mid-threes.
Look, that's the thing with Airlie Beach, where the whole town tends to tear down to the water down the hill, doesn't it? I suppose a profusion of views up there.
Yeah, and then if you want something, you know, 4 to 5 bedrooms, you're getting a lot more bang for your buck than what we get where we live. But, you know, it's just stunning up there. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
And, Steve, perfect time of year up there too. And despite the weather down here, from what you basically had sunshine up there.
Yeah, a little bit of hurricane kind of weather when we're out sailing.
Yeah, but if you're sailing, that's what you want. You want some decent wind up there. So the catamaran was getting along at a reasonable clip, wasn't it?
Yeah, faster than with the motor.
They had it up on one hole? That's always interesting, a big passenger cat.
No, but that would have been fun and or scary. And we're with kind of 9 other people. But, you know, they just find a secluded nook, Rod. Find a safe haven.
Now, one of your great memories is getting onto that world-famous beach too, Steve.
Yeah, I loved Whitehaven. You can see, it's the first time I've been there. It is the most beautiful beach I've ever set foot on. It's just pristine, unspoiled. And almost looks like you could surf, Rod, because there's like a channel, and there was a left and a right hander breaking.
Yeah, there's a little bar breaking there. Yeah, but maybe just need to wait for those cyclone swells there, I'd think, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, Rod, Sharpie about to join us. We'll go to Brad Rogers in a moment from Rain and Horn Commercial. Brad has kind of scooped the pool. His office won numerous awards at Hamilton Island a couple of weeks ago at a gala ceremony.
That's it. Look, there was a big Rainhorn conference on Hamilton Island. Rainhorn traditionally does them on Hamilton Island. Some great guest speakers that I'm going to ask Brad a lot of questions about. But Brad's wife, Naomi, received the Outstanding National Commercial Property Manager. That's a national award. Brad himself, 3rd nationally with a leasing transaction, value of leasing transaction. And he's in partnership there with Jeff Tilden. And Jeff's residential officer, Gosford, niece, Gosford, received the Residential National Property Management Team of the Year. And that's probably down to the fact that I'm pretty certain they're running close to 2,000 rentals out of those two offices right now. Extraordinary.
Yeah, they are star performers, no doubt about it. A little later in the episode too, Benny Falconer from Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions in Wyong. So we've spoken to Smith & Sons builders around New South Wales. Now we finally get a guy on our doorstep.
We're going local.
Before we go to Brad Rogers, and Sharpie's about to join us, what's caught your eye?
Look, certainly one of the things that everybody's avidly watching is the market as it responds to interest rate increases. We are likely to get another one this week as well. I think the writing is on the table. We're going to get a 0.5% interest rate increase, and we see the market. Every time there's a market increase, the market stutters again and then slowly picks up until there's another rate increase. But if we look at last weekend auction clearance rates, virtually around the country, they were up on the previous Saturday. So Sydney recorded an average of 64% clearance, Melbourne 64%, Brisbane 57%, Adelaide still rocking and rolling at 80%. Canberra was the only capital city that was down slightly on the previous weekend at 57%, but bear in mind when we're looking at 64% last weekend in Sydney, 60% the weekend beforehand, the same Saturday last year, getting pretty much in that peak mid-year period was 85%. But Steve and listeners, when we're averaging two-thirds of properties taken to auction selling at or before auction, that's still a really good response. As I say, it's back to a normal market. It is not the gloom and doom you're being fed by the newspapers, but it is going to be very tough when the RBA announces another interest rate increase.
Yeah, my wife Sharon asked about that this morning. So the house you're sitting in now, how much would this property have dropped in the last 6 months?
Look, it's probably fair to say that somewhere between 5 to 10%. But I'm going to reiterate what we've been saying every fortnight this year, Steve. We've just come off the back of potentially 35, 40% increase over 2 years. It's still very, very positive, isn't it? It's just those little ups and downs. It's certainly doing it a lot better than the stock market's done as far as ups and downs go over the last 12 months. And it's going to be just a year of adjustment both for buyers and vendors. I'm seeing a little bit of reluctance with vendors to come on, but I'd be thinking if you're a vendor, better get on now rather than October, November, where we know there's really going to be a supply of property launched back onto the market.
And you've given me this press release from Dr. Andrew Wilson from propertyupdate.com.au. Home loans sharply down through July. And if you look at the numbers seasonally adjusted, $34.3 billion in July 21, in July 22, $29.4 billion.
Look, that's right. This was one Michael Yardney put across Metropole, as well as Dr. Andrew Wilson highlighting it again too. The ABS reports the value of home loans seasonally adjusted, excluding land and alterations, decreased by 8.8% compared to the previous month, being 14.3% lower than reported over July 21. So it's only just dropped back a little bit over the course of this year. But when we look back, going back particularly, let's say to May and July 20, which was the middle of COVID, the unsettling part, when we were being told the market was going to virtually collapse just before everybody wanted to move out the city to the regions and the markets went crazy right around Australia, we were looking at it being far lower than it currently is. So it slipped back a little from what the peak it was last year, and we certainly had a peak in January as well too, but it's still tracking well above average if we look at back over the last 3 years, Steve. Now look, seasonally adjusted in New South Wales, the monthly change has been down by 6.3%, not quite as big as Victoria at 8.7%. But Steve, we're looking at Queensland being down, and this is the applications for mortgages, so people being cautious. That's down by 10.6% and Tasmania 8.7%. The surprise for me was that it's still up in the Northern Territory, and despite WA still being a very difficult market over there, that's only dropped by 5.3%, so certainly a lot less than the eastern capitals.
Yeah, great job, Rod. About to go live to Brad Rogers, and just before we do, Rod, you've got some intel about their big celebration up on the Whitsundays.
So, Brad, Hamlin Island, Rain and Horn Convention up there, and from what you were telling me, some of the most desirable guest speakers I have ever heard. Todd Sampson, Kurt Fernley, amongst some class leaders, but those are two people I would have walked to Hamilton Island to see.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was a really good event, well attended, great speakers, as you said. It was a real pleasure to be up there, and little bit of time away from the work and, celebrate with a lot of the high achievers, not only around our state and industrial, commercial, but residential, rural, right across the country. It was a good mix of people to be with.
Well, Brad, the little bird is telling me that there needs to be congratulations also for Rain and Horn Commercial and Jeff Tilden's offices at Rain and Horn Gosford and East Gosford, a whole swag of awards. And the lovely Naomi, somebody we know rather well, Brad, received the Outstanding National Commercial Property Manager. So congratulations to your better half, and you'll just have to play better next time, mate.
Yeah, very much. Well deserved too. Works very hard and excellent at what she does. So the fact that she's got experience in residential, commercial, industrial and also state government, she's very well qualified and a well-deserved award.
What were your thoughts about Hamilton Island? Because Rod just mentioned a moment ago, we were in Airlie Beach last week and then we spent a couple of days on a catamaran sailing around and we were celebrating our wedding anniversary. But one observation that I'd have is I can't believe how inexpensive Airlie Beach is depending on what property you're after, and you're probably looking at some of the world's best views.
Yeah, I didn't catch up with the Airlie Beach properties, but I can assure you, Hamilton Island, there were some big price tags up there. There was there was one that had just been listed for apparently $15 million, and I didn't see anything even for a unit. Just looking around the traps, I didn't see anything less than about $1.5 million. So it probably makes Airlie Beach look real cheap, I'd say.
I'll tell you what else is up there. Some of the world's best super yachts. They're all moored. I mean, that's how the other half live. Is that right? Or the other 5%?
Or 1%? Yeah.
Yeah, a very low percentage. We were there the week before race week, so we just saw some of the big racing yachts coming in, and I'm no expert, so if I'm using the wrong term, forgive me, but the likes of Comanche and Wild Oats and, these boats that you see on the Sydney to Hobart were all just rolling in. It was pretty impressive.
G'day, Brad, as well. Mate, obviously you're up there for the Rain and Horn Awards night, and you come back with a whole bunch of awards, which is fantastic, but to our understanding, Todd Sampson and also Kurt Fernley were guest speakers there. Can you tell us a little bit about what they spoke about and any takeaways that you had from their presentations?
Kurt Fernley I've seen before, actually here at Erina. He was presenting at the Chamber of Commerce years back, and he was fantastic then, and now he's just even more polished. Like, you can see the years of presenting and telling his story. He's amazing, amazing person, just in what he says, how he says it, how he presents. A lot about what he went through and the agony of a single marathon, a wheelchair marathon, let alone the enormous amounts of marathons he did and competed in, and
carried a trail. Let's not forget that one.
We've walked Kokoda. I don't know how we did it. I truly don't. That was unbelievable. Watching some of the footage of that was I say crazy, but it's out of respect. He's someone I could listen to all day. He's brilliant, very motivating, and not he says himself, not because I'm in a wheelchair. I don't want to motivate people because I'm in a wheelchair, and he's right. He's regardless of him sitting in a wheelchair or standing or whatever you could be doing, like, what he has to say is just it resonates really well.
What about Todd Sampson? Yeah. Because I know Rod absolutely loves him, and you see him on Gruen. Is that correct, Rod?
That's it indeed. And his only other rather death-defying shows that he screened across both commercial and the ABC.
Yeah, very good. He was all about the mind, what can be achieved, emotions, what the next step is in what he believes in. Probably evolution, I guess you'd call it, in what the benefits are of, what some people will have an advantage over others, and present it in a really, simple way that, if us agents can understand it, then, he's doing a good job. just some of the things he showed, and, in his body hack series and his other series where he learns to tightrope 20 floors up, in 6 weeks of practice, and it's like and rock climbing blindfolded, like 120 meters in the air. So you're sort of sitting there watching it and saying, is this real? And and then he presents and tells you that he's and shows you what it was doing, and the brain scans and things like that. He's a very intelligent man. The other speaker as well was Dr. Richard Harris, who was obviously the Australian of the Year that helped bring the boys out of the caves.
Tunnels. Oh yes, of course.
What a story that is.
It was, yeah. Just hearing what they went through was amazing.
Nice, mate. And look, just getting back on track in the commercial space, what are you seeing out there? Are there any interesting trends happening across the country or even here in the Central Coast?
Yeah, look, the Central Coast is probably a lot tighter and closer to the national markets and averages than we've ever been. And especially, you know, every time I talk, I seem to be talking about industrial more so than anything else, but that's the trend. We're down to 0.8% vacancy rate for industrial property across the nation, which is, you know, that's right up there with residential rates at its best. Pre-COVID, we were probably closer to about 10% vacancy on the Central Coast and 6.9% nationally. All of a sudden, you know, the nation's gone from 6.9 to 0.8%, and the Central Coast, realistically, we're pretty much the same. We'd be 1 or 2% here at best. Like, every day we've got agents ringing from Sydney, Newcastle, seeing if there's any industrial property for lease, for sale, new land releases, and it's just not there. It's just not available. It is that tight in the industrial world.
To think that they're at 0.8% vacancy rate, and I think the last I checked in the residential space, we're at about 1.1 and 1.2, and that's classed as catastrophic lows. To think that the industrial space is at 0.8% is mind-blowing to me.
In real terms, even lower than residential, isn't it? Because like your commercial one's probably hovering around about 7 to 8% normally, isn't it?
Yeah. Pre-pandemic was 6.9 national, and up here about 10, correct.
So, Brad, I need to ask you a question, because mathematics, generally reasonably good, but something doesn't add up, mate. You've the lowest tenancy vacancy out there, and yet you managed to walk away with the third nationally on the leasing transactions, third nationally on the value of the leasing transactions. That's right across the Australian National Rain and Horn Group. That's phenomenal. Congratulations.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
So how do you achieve it when there's so little lease, or is it just that, as you say, it's replicated across every corner of Australia right now?
No, I guess it's just trying to create things, Rod, that your traditional market where you work with a client and, you know, there's a vacancy and, you know, people come and respond and inspect and everything else just normal. It's not quite happening that way. You're sort of forcing the issue with, you know, before leases are coming up, you're making sure if someone's staying, going, if they're going, you're onto it. You know, you're working with clients that may have worked with 3, 4, 5 agents before, when they just put it up in an open nature, a bit different to the residential world. All of a sudden you're chasing those people a lot harder to see what's coming up and when the lease expiries are. Perfect example is Tuggerah at the moment. I've just relocated from Tuggerah to Berkeleyvale, went to speak to them about their lease that runs out next year, and the owner already had someone lined up in case they were moving 12 months out. And so they're going to move out early, and there's someone already moving in 12 months out, never made it to the market. The next door neighbour, we've just relocated again, and they move out in January, and we've just sent instructions today to the solicitors to draw up a new lease. Again, it hasn't hit the market. We're just working with so much behind the scenes of, you know, what's coming up, when's it coming up, how can we get in there, who can we get in there? Just very different to what you'd call the normal market and waiting for a response.
And I think that just comes down to your relationships and how well you're connected with the business community across the Central Coast, and obviously your standing and your respect from those tenants as well, Brad. So congratulations. I think you skimmed over that. But, mate, one thing I will ask, and something that we've seen in the residential space, because of the tightening in vacancies and properties available, we've obviously seen quite a surge and an increase in rents across the country. Is that the same as in the industrial space, or have the rents not quite picked up yet?
Locally we're up about 5 or 6%, so it has increased, and that's taking out of context. That's not, you know, adding in CPI at 5% or anything at the moment. That's a base value. They've, you know, rents at this stage have gone up about 5% in industrial. We will see that change over the next couple of months, because some of the deals we've just done that have started just kicking through, they're probably closer to about a 12% increase in what the previous tenant was paying. Now, the big challenge, I think, will be the outgoings in the next little while, because we know that when land values go up, obviously council rates, land taxes go up, but in industrial, insurance has gone up 20 to 25% this year, and understanding that the majority of industrial tenants, especially, you know, mid to big size companies, they pay a base rent and then the property outgoings on top, you know, increases in land tax, insurance and council rates on top of a rent increase. I think that'll start biting a few companies.
Mate, really, really good point. And I think it'd be fair to say that obviously they've increased, as you mentioned, around that sort of 5 to maybe even up to 12%. I think over the next sort of 24 months, it'd be, I think, safe to say that there's probably still some growth there in that rental space, just given what we've seen as a comparison in the residential space. You know, we've seen residential rents increase somewhere around 30% in some of the major regional centres and also capital cities across Australia. So interesting space to watch.
I think you're right. And with Matt just saying that a lot of people are, I guess you'd call them out of the market at the moment. Like if you're on a 5-year lease and you've been in that lease for 3 years, you've got 2 years before you even have to worry about the next rental. All these things are happening behind you. We find a lot of companies that aren't up to date with it. All of a sudden they come up to a market review and say, what's our next rent? And it goes up 10 or 12%. They go, oh, no, really, like CPI was only running at 1 or 2%. And it's like the market's changed. And it's amazing how many people, unfortunately, don't keep their finger on the pulse on the way through their lease.
Yeah, we just heard that even today in the media about residential, where if we get another rate increase, most landlords might pass that on, but it will be like 10% in one quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So rent might go up $50 per week.
Yeah, I'd say the cash rate's going to be increased today by half a basis point, you'd expect, Rod.
What do you think, Rod?
Look, at the same time, thankfully, with the rental market, there is legislation in effect that you cannot have unsubstantiated price increases on a rental property. At the same time, when you've got landlords that are just struggling to be able to cover the mortgage because they bought at the peak of the market. And we're also starting to see rents stabilise, I dare say, Matt. I've seen some rental properties have been on the market of 1,100 that I know have gone out for rent at 950. So what we're finding is there is still a point beyond which people are not prepared to climb to the top of the peak in order to gain that property. And I think we're getting the point of adjustment. I would dare say there's not going to be much room to move if your rent increases, even if your mortgage does increase in the immediate future, because it has gone up so much already.
No, I'd agree with Rod with that as well. But one thing that Brad mentioned, which is interesting, is typically in the residential space, you know, lease terms are around 6 months, sometimes 12 months. That's generally what you'd see. However, in the industrial space and the commercial space, you know, there can be leases up to 5 years. So as Brad just mentioned, you might have signed a 5-year lease, you know, at the beginning of 2020 and there's been this volatility and a whole bunch of changes, but your lease isn't due to expire for maybe another, you know, 18 months or even 24 months. So very interesting. And if you are in that position, I'd be having a bit of a look at what's happening in that local market, just as Brad said, so there's not a major shock when your lease comes off.
I've got in front of me some of the results locally, and I'll get you to pick up the story, Brad.
Yeah, there has been some different results out through the market, that's for sure. So recently we've had a medical centre down in Woiwoi that's been trading for 20 years. Most people would know the Woiwoi General Practice right there in the station in the Clock Tower building. The owner who's owned that for two decades has strata'd up the building and sold it. So that was about $3.25 million, which was a good result, sort of high 6% yield, which we haven't seen high 6% yields for some time in a commercial market. It's been closer to fives and five and a half, but the purchaser was very happy with this. The owner was happy with the results, so we move on it. And it probably showed one of the highest yields we've seen in a little while. There's another property that a lot of people might have seen the signboards on, 202 The Entrance Road at Erina. That was about 260 square metre office is what it looks like, obviously, you know, within the current fit out, but that's been bought by an owner-occupier and that'll turn more into retail. So if you're looking at that property, that's most people know the Battery World site, and that's in that site just there in the middle of Erina, so really well exposed position there. And another little recent one that finished on Friday was a nice little medical centre. It was sort of built in the 60s and it's been a GP clinic through two doctors all that time, and purchased by another local GP. So again, they'll have GP services staying in the entrance and adding in some allied health. So again, the medical sort of facilities, local owner operators are still the most dominant people we're working with in the market right now.
Now, Brad, you're just saying there that medical practice has been working in that format for over 60 years. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So what I'd been told was that by the current owners was that the previous doctor, he built it there right next to the church because he was very heavily affiliated with the church, so he put his doctor's practice right next door.
Get clients arriving to and from the services, I take it. Good thinking.
Oh, I would say so, yeah. Making it easy for everyone to come and see him.
All right, so what's the general demand out there like? Because we need to categorise. We've got commercial, which is more use retail shopfront style one. You've got the industrial, which is a traditional warehouse with a big lift-up roller door for businesses. Is one outperforming the other, Brad?
Definitely, yeah. So where we were saying before, industrial is really, really tightly held. Commercial offices and retail is slightly going the other way. We're probably at about a 15% vacancy rate at the moment, commercial and retail, as opposed to, as we said, less than 1% industrial. So commercial is probably more like what you would say is a normal market, or what we would have considered a fairly balanced market, whereby there's enough stock and enough demand to sort of meet each other. One's not dominating the other in negotiations. If you're looking at performance-wise, industrial's outperforming everything nationwide, followed by commercial offices and retail very, very close together, sort of aligned together on around about that 15% vacancy.
Looking at the same time, Brad, look, I'd be thinking that with commercial, with so many of these being retail businesses, and it has been tough for them over those few years of COVID, that's still not a bad figure given the fact that we're just coming out of those restrictions.
I agree, especially when you look along the coast. I mean, if you are looking for something to purchase on the entrance road at Erina, it's really, really difficult. You can't just walk up and say there's five to choose from. There's been people waiting 2 or 3 years for the right type of property and still haven't found it, or it hasn't accommodated what they needed. Something like the old Pets Domain, which is only for lease, people walking in saying we really want to buy it, but it's the whole complex and the owners aren't selling. So again, that's come up for lease. We've probably had 10 different genuine inquiries on the old Pets Domain, ranging from people wanting half to, you know, 2 or 3 big national brands wanting the whole lot. It just goes to show at the moment that the commercial retail world is still in demand, but it's coming down to your A-grade properties or your A-grade locations taking the bulk of the inquiry. Some of the further back streets or older buildings, things like that, they're sitting there a little bit unloved, but your A-grade buildings and your A-grade locations are definitely getting all the attention.
Hey, Brad, the motto of the show is information and observation about real estate across the nation. Is there anything that's caught your eye in the commercial space outside of the Central Coast?
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading on the weekend that there's about 400,000 square metres of commercial space has come on in Sydney this year alone. I think that's a lot of property, and apparently a lot of it's being soaked up. So I think that's still really strong to know that there's a lot going on in Sydney, but it's still strong.
Okay, so that was where it was really badly affected with COVID, particularly the inner city regions, big corporate offices and things. So that seems to have bounced back already, given the fact it's only really, 8 months past the lockdowns lifted.
That's what I'm reading. So talking to a couple of colleagues down in Sydney that work in that Sydney and Macquarie Park region, they're run off their feet at the moment. They're really satisfied with the way it's come back. Haven't really spoken to them too much about the rates, whether the rates are up or down or neutral, but the fact that they're getting deals and they're happy and they're, in the fact that the spaces are getting filled and the developers are then turning around to build some more is really positive.
Now, Brad, the other news is too that your old shotgun rider is back sitting at a desk opposite you at Rain and Horn Commercial. Tell us about the fact that a teammate, somebody you've worked with for over a decade, has come back to join you.
Yeah, so Mark Davies, a lot of people up north just know him as Sparky, but Mark's a great guy. He's been around for 2 decades on the coast, Wyong born and bred, and he went down to Sydney for a couple of years. So Mark and I had the privilege of working at LJ Hooker Commercial for 10 years together, and then Mark went down to Sydney to join Rain and Horn, came back up here to. And then he was with the boys at Chapman and Fraser. So as you can tell, I'm pretty fond of a lot of my competitors. We don't cutthroat each other. So the fact that we did enjoy working together at LJ Hooker and then seeing him successful at Chapman and Fraser. But really happy that he reached out and wanted to come and say hello and work in our team. And he's just a really good guy. Lots of experience. Knows what people need and looks after his clients really well.
Congratulations, Brad, on all of the awards and the little escape to Hamilton Island. Kudos to you and your team. And thanks so much for joining us on the podcast yet again.
No, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Brad Rogers there from Rain and Horn Commercial. And now, Rod, let's go to Benny Falconer from Smith & Sons, and he's on our doorstep. So we've spoken to Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions right around New South Wales. Now we've got a guy from Wyong, a multi-award winner, Benny Falconer. Good morning, mate, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Mate, we're well, and because you're local like Rod and I are, how have you found 2022? On the Central Coast?
Look, the building game is a bit of it's up and down at the moment. There's plenty of leads coming through. Finding a lot of trouble. I don't want to sort of get myself into too much deep trouble, but yeah, our sort of great Central Coast Council having a bit of trouble at the moment. DAs out.
Yes. Well, considering the fact there's about 80% of the people left there to process work and it's just building up on somebody's desk.
Apparently they've lost 30-odd inspectors, and they've got twice as much work to do. So basically that's 200% increase. So that's killing us as builders because we sort of, you know, getting stuff out of council is hard, and you've got to try and find little bits and pieces in between or that big one that overruns. So like I had six in council at one stage sort of to go. And at the moment we're not, I've decided not to quote until they come out closer to their time of coming out, purely because of the ups and downs at the moment and prices changing so much and the variance.
Mate, you speak to any town planner, Ben, they're all in the same work. You know, there's one person I know, I've been waiting 8 months just to get a pool clearance.
Well, I've just had one plan come through literally this morning with, thank God it's only been 10 months for the DA, and that's what they literally said to me on my on the email this morning that came through. They saw us about 12 months ago. They've gone through, got their DA done. They went through and did it themselves. They've come back now and literally this morning got the email. That's only been 10 months for the DA. That's not too bad, is it?
Yeah. I tell you,
obviously
boys.
Obviously sarcastic.
Yeah, it's a story that needs to be out there.
Indeed.
It does.
So.
It really does. Mate, it's killing us builders. And it's, you know, for the general homeowner, they sort of think we're selling porky pies here
That's it, mate. They don't understand. Like, you know, as I say, I talk to these town planners that are trying to mediate between builders and council, and the builders are trying to mediate with the clients. And as I say, it all gets stuck. And I mean, I think it's good to put it out there because the poor guys that are in council left just cannot climb over the paperwork. They're getting the abuse and the rest, and yet the trouble, as you say, mate, is there is half the numbers of them there to do the work.
Under-resourced.
Right. Correct.
I'm glad you shared the story with us. And let's go to a positive note. In the last 12 months, you've done some spectacular, stunning renovations and extensions. What have been some of your highlights?
I finished off a job at Berkeley Vale, a nice little extension for an old retiring couple. Basically gutted the whole house, extended, extra bedroom, every bathroom for them, little pergola and deck.
Is Steve asking how this year's going? Because let's face it, mate, for the last 18 months, 2 years, it's been rain out. You dig the trenches, wait for the concrete to go in, it all collapses with another downpour. So we've gone through the weather scenario. It's still going to be the wettest year on record. And that's a huge impact upon you just getting things out of the ground, isn't it?
And that's the other thing, yeah, apart from everything else, can't get material and stuff, or it's hard to get materials. That was a major factor where you could actually start something. We couldn't start it because of the weather. So once we got our stuff out of council, the gods sort of decided, not ready yet. Hey, we're going to push these guys a little bit more.
Hey, Ben, you're one of the real stars of the Smith & Sons franchise group. Tell us how you came on board and what it means to you.
Look, I think I've been around one of the longest there now, I'm pretty sure. I've been in the 10 years. I've just renewed my franchise for another 5, so it's been the full 10. I saw Mark. So he's part of the reason that I actually came on board because I was very skeptical at the start, to be quite honest. My wife actually saw, I was actually looking for something else to do because I was a little bit annoyed with what I was doing originally and just wanted a bit of a change. And she saw a sign on the back of his car and coming down the hill at, I think it was Summersby. And gave me the number and I rang and he started his spool and I went, yeah, whatever, champ, and sort of basically said, I'm not interested. I'm like that. I'll cut off and I'm pretty straightforward. I'm a straight shooter and that was it. I sort of said, no, mate, I'm not into that sort of stuff. And I can't even remember what the word he said, or he said something within a matter of seconds to hook me or to turn me around to make me stay on the phone that extra second.
Wow.
And from there, I'm glad I did, to be quite honest, because what he said, and be kind of, I can't, but it was just something that turned me around, and what he said has been good. Look, the franchise is good because it's going to be a sellable asset at the end, which is what I'm hoping for, and I think it's going to happen. Yeah. And Mark and his team, absolutely brilliant and bent over backwards to help you out. And as I said, he was one of the reasons why I came on, because if he's, you know, he's alive, he just, he lives it.
Yeah, gee, I tell you, I wish I knew what he said, whatever quote it was that turned Benny Falconer around. Was it Shakespearean?
Bar talk, Ben?
It wasn't bar talk, I had a drink, so it wasn't that.
We need to beep it out, whatever it was?
I don't think he was swearing with me at that stage. He didn't know me just yet, so he was trying to hook me, and he hooked me all right. So it was, honestly, it was 10 years ago. Come on, I'm getting old.
So he got the big fish in the end.
He did. He got it.
Yeah, Benny, this was just meant to be a little cameo. Can you come back and join us again, and we'll talk more extensively about your journey with Smith & Sons?
Yeah, that'd be good. I'll probably get some stuff together so I can remember everything, to be quite honest. So if I can remember what Mark actually said.
Well, we'll lock it in for a fortnight. How does that suit you, Ben?
Yeah, not a problem. Sounds good.
Yeah, beautiful job, mate. Congratulations on all your awards, and congratulations on a decade with the Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions Group. Thanks for your time.
Not a problem. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Ben Falconer from Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions at Wyong. Boy, Rod, after that conversation, looking forward to having him come back in a fortnight.
Look, that's it. There's been so many challenges affecting the building industry. He's been at it with Smith & Sons for 10 years, one of the most awarded franchises, and again, another family-run business under the family-run Smith & Sons franchise.
Yeah, thanks again to Brad Rogers for joining us as well from Rain & Horn Commercial. Congratulations to his office. Thanks for listening as always. We'll catch you again soon on Our House.